Take your Bible today, and we're going to spend a few moments in God's Word. I'd like you to open to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I'd like to spend a few moments just bearing my heart to you today, sharing with you. And I hope you'll grasp very, very quickly today where we're headed is in this message. Many scholars believe that 2 Timothy was Paul's final address before he was literally beheaded before Nero, the emperor of Rome. And writing to his young protege, who at that time was pastoring the Ephesian church, and many believe that under Timothy's ministry, the church in Ephesus grew to around 100,000 members, just a small country church, but he had a huge church, and Paul's about to depart, and he's trying to write back to Timothy, and I'd like you to notice what he says to him in 2 Timothy 1. Stand for the reading of God's Word, if you can today, 2 Timothy 1, 3 and following. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy what we believe is his final address. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers. Verse 4, recalling your tears, I long to see you, so I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, verse 6, I remind you to fan into flame. Everyone say, fan into flame. Come on, say it louder. Say, fan into flame. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, because of his own purpose and his own grace. Father, thank you for your word today. Anoint these next few moments powerfully, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Dr. E. Stanley Jones, the great Methodist missionary of latter year, one who we understand actually witnessed to the Mahatma himself. I read in one of his works that I was able to acquire some years ago through some difficulty, but I do have it in my library, a book called Poison Power. He said, I came to India with a singular conviction that time has only more fully substantiated its truth, and it is this, that the human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills. The human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills. He continued to write, he said, the church in our day has made the devastating decision of issuing dictates without providing the dynamics by which to fulfill them. Issuing dictates without providing the dynamics by which to fulfill them. He said, therefore, we are shut up to one conclusion. Pentecost or failure. Back in 1997, Dr. Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church out in Southern California, wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. Anybody have a copy of that in your library still? I've got a copy. I've read it. I've given it away. We've used it for study. Great book. Purpose-Driven Life was an encouragement to take 40 days. And it became a number one bestseller on New York Times list. I mean, it literally made Rick Warren a multimillionaire because it went everywhere, all over the world. It's been retranslated a bajillion times. But there's more than just purpose. Rick Warren didn't go far enough. Hear me today. He didn't go far enough, as great as the book is.
Who do you think you are? I'm telling you, biblically, he didn't go far enough.
There is 40 days to purpose, and he used the resurrection of Christ, 40 days with a disciple, after he came up alive out of the grave. But there's more than that. It isn't just purpose. He should have taken it 10 more days to passion. And I got scripture and verse, you just read it. Paul talking to his protege, pastoring somewhere near 100,000 constituents. He says, Timothy, I'm soon going to be out of here. But as far as you are concerned, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Listen to this. Like it or not, all of us were made for passion. I'm not just talking about romance. I'm talking about every one of us have a hearth in our soul in which some kind of a fire burns. If I had enough time to sit down with you and start a conversation, I would pretty soon find out what really turns your crank. And I don't care what the person looks like. I don't care how stoic they may be. Everybody's got something. That's their fire. It gets them up in the morning and puts them down at night. And isn't it interesting that when you talk about the Holy Ghost of God, the symbols that are used in Scripture to exemplify what He does and who He is, there's the emblem of water, there's the emblem of wind, there's the emblem of oil, but beloved, there's also the emblem of fire. Now, I'm not a fireman. I respect our first responders very, very deeply and know a lot of them. But I'm not a firefighter. But I have observed some things through the years. I've never seen anybody get in a caravan behind an ice wagon. But a fire engine turns on their lights and people will come from several counties to see where that fire engine's going. But I got a pastor friend of mine that one time I was preaching an extended revival with him and we jumped in his car to go get something to eat. And he drove by an old abandoned sawmill where there were pallets stacked, probably 20 feet high, where the old sawmill used to put lumber and various things and various logs they'd bring in. And that thing was stacked up and those things were still there. He elbowed me in the ribs. He said, boy, he said, wouldn't that make a good fire? Have you ever known a pyromaniac? Hopefully not. Forgive me if I'm being redundant, but some years ago when I was still in high school, some friends of ours that had a farm and they had several head of cattle that they had to feed and we had a very, very dry year. So we had gone to Montana. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. We'd gone to Montana and brought back a pretty sizable load of hay to feed the cattle they had, not knowing that some of the bales that we picked up were still wet. Now, some of you already know where I'm going with this. Some of the bales were still a bit wet. And so we had taken the whole day to go to Montana. We'd loaded up the trailer, brought them all the way back. We bucked the bales and put them up in the barn where they had them. And we'd gone inside to get some rest, get something to eat. We hadn't been there more than a couple of hours. And all of a sudden, from the back of the house, there was a yell. And the mother of the woman of the house who was living with the family looked out back and the barn was on fire. And I'm not talking about a little spark. It was already beginning to go up. And so there was a yell. We called for the fire people to get out there. Now, I am not exaggerating. As that barn began to literally go up in smoke, and that thing was burning, and the first responders had come, people came from several surrounding counties not to help put out the fire, just to watch the barn burn. You know, I think it was D.L. Moody said, just dare to let your life be a fire for God, and people will come and watch you burn. Let me tell you something. There's more than just purpose. You got to have some purpose, some sense of who you are and why you're here. But the thing we also got to have with purpose is passion. There's got to be a fire that burns on the inside of us. Let me tell you something. If you can take or leave this, that's what you'll do. You'll take it, you'll leave it. But if you got a fire going down on the inside of you, there's a lot of things I don't understand, but I understand this very, very well. There is a fire that burns in all of us. And that's the thing that ultimately defines our life. And when it comes to the gospel, Paul says to Timothy, this great pastor, he said, you got to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. You understand what stoking is? You understand what stirring up the flame is all about? In order for a fire to burn, there has to be fuel, and you got to keep what? Refueling it. Man, if we didn't have to refuel it, I mean, the coal industry would go out of business. The logging industry, you name it. I've lived in places where we heated homes with wood. And how you have to get up in the middle of the night. You'd have to make sure that the damper was proper. And you had to constantly be stirring and had to be constantly providing for it. And going out and getting the wood and splitting the wood. And constantly aware or there was not going to be any heat. I mean, listen. The passion, the hunger. I mean, there's something magnetic when people are excited about things. I mean, even if you don't believe what they're doing. Several years ago, there was this dude, he had this thing he used to do to try to get people to sell these little bitty ads in newspapers. And he had a multi-marketing, multi-level kind of business. I think he got in some trouble over some IRS violations. But the guy was so excited about what he was doing. You're like, man, that sounds pretty cool. And there's something about excitement. If we're not sold on this product, nobody else is going to be. If we don't have a passion about it, no one else will. Have you ever gone into a dealership to buy a car and have a salesman or woman meet you at the door and go, whatever. Oh, you could probably get a car like anywhere. I mean, you could probably go anywhere you want and buy a car. I mean, you don't have to buy it here. Go take your time. Just wander around and no one's going to bother you or have any concern. They'll just leave you alone. How many of you have ever been in a place where you bought something just because the person was so excited about it that was selling it to you? And later on you're like, why did I buy that? You and I have all been in environments where people have been so energized and so charged up. And so excited. Let me tell you something. When you walk into a place, call a church, call whatever you want to, and people are really, really fired up. People want to be a part of that. People like that appetite. They like that magnetism. But when we have to, just whatever. That doesn't impress anybody, including the person themselves. Let me tell you this. If I have no other message to preach, I have this message to preach about fire. I don't care how I might look to you. On the inside, there's a fire here. It burns. It will not allow me to not do everything I can to influence as many people for the gospel that I know. When I pull up to a place, when I walk into a convenience store, and people say, well, how you doing? I always say, well, I'm better than I deserve. How people say, what in the world does that mean? I said, let me tell you what it means. And then I immediately segue into, that's all about God's grace. That's all about what God has done for me. That's all about what God has done for me and my family. I cannot count how many times through the years here and all over the world that people say, well, tell us more about that. Listen to me. We must not just live a purpose-driven life, knowing why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. But beloved, you better have a passion. You better have a fire. You better have some kind of an impetus. You better have something going on within the inside of you. Like Jeremiah, who said, I'm not going to say anymore or act in any way anymore along this line. But he said that there was a fire within me. It was like shut up in my bones. I couldn't just keep it to myself. This is something that this generation that we're living in right now, a generation that's largely anti-God, largely anti-church, largely anti-Christ, you start naming it down the road. It's all a part of this contemporary time. And they can differ with our belief structure. They can differ with our facilities. They can differ with what we preach and what we teach. But I will tell you this, the one thing people cannot argue with is when you have such an energy in your life for Him, the things that are important to Him, His message, His gospel, His work. People, they will pick up on that in a New York minute. They'll know when you got it and when you don't. They'll know it when you're serious and when you're not. And there's something about even the very aura of a person like that. They have almost a glow about them. They have almost a shine about them. I'm talking about when you have a fire burning. God is fire. Moses, tending his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the Sinai Desert. He's minding his own business, doing the work he had been doing for year after year after year. All of a sudden, he saw a bush burning that was not consumed and said, read it for yourself, I'm going to turn aside and see this wonder. A church on fire. People won't be able to stay away. They're going to want to check out what's going on in there. People who are on fire. People are going to want to be connected to that because they are so dead and lifeless on the inside. People are looking for reality. People are looking for power. People are looking for life. People are looking for significance. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for people that walk their talk and talk their walk. They're looking for people that absolutely are sold on this gospel. People are wanting hope. They're wanting reality. They're wanting significance. But how will they ever believe what we have to say if there's nothing about who we are that's going to draw anybody to the Savior? And listen, it isn't about how we look. It isn't about having necessarily every T crossed and every I dotted. I know sometimes we're so afraid to say anything for fear that we'll say something wrong. Listen to this. Just love Jesus so much. Hear me. Just love Jesus so much. Just love Him so much that people will not be able to deny that you're in love with Him. They'll see it. And those that are looking will long for that. There may be a lot of things you can't do, but just love Him all you can. Serve Him all you can. Let me tell you something. You can tell when a couple loves each other. Do you know there's body language to this? They talk about when you see couples being pictured, you can tell, really tell, those that love each other. Because what? They lean in. Now, if you see a picture and they're going like that, you got to wonder, what's going on there? I mean, you could have been married 175 years. But you can tell when a woman loves her husband, a husband loves his wife. The way they look at each other. The way they talk about each other. How they handle themselves together. And I'm going to tell you, there are people that there's no doubt whatsoever how much they love Jesus. Because you can see it all over their countenance. You can see how they handle themselves. Their appetite, their desire to be in His presence, their hunger for His Word, how they communicate, the manner in which they present themselves. Listen, you read the Bible for yourself, and you're going to find out that there's always been a fire element to God's presence. There was a fire that called Moses. How did Cain know that his sacrifice had been rejected and Abel's had been accepted? Well, because of a fire that fell from God. How did they know that the tabernacle had been well accepted? The fire fell. How about Elijah's sacrifice on Mount Carmel? The fire fell. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus said, I have come to cast fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. Luke chapter 12, verse 49 and following. He said, that kind of fire is going to divide even families. Father against son, son against father, and so on and so forth. There's a fire element to the gospel. Now listen to this. There are people that will try to minimize that. I can name parachurch ministries that will tell you that's dangerous. They'll tell you that. I know them because I've dealt with their representatives before. There was a guy that he's now with the Lord. I have no doubt he was with the Lord. But he used to say that fire and revival and renewal was dangerous. He would try to keep people away from all of that. He said what you need to acquire is basically an even keel life. Minimize the emotion. Minimize the ups and minimize the downs. Just learn how to live a life that's like, Just live a life that's, That is not Christianity, that's Buddhism. Buddhism teaches the problem with man is emotion. So take the emotion out. But God made us like this. He made you a person of fire. He made you to be a hearth that needs a fire. He's the one that created us like this. Now, I realize there are some people that you want to get out a real sharp pin and jab them to see if they're even alive. But even those people have a fire about something. I know some dear sisters. They're wonderful people. You put them in church and it's like you got to turn on the bulldozer to move them. I mean, just... But send them to Target? Oh my God! Is that the same person that sits in church? When my dear daughter puts on her shoes and she goes shopping, you better have the car fired up. I mean, she is on a mission. How many people know what I'm talking? I mean, they're on a mission. I look at a shopping center and I get tired. I am so thankful for the stores that have good, comfortable chairs for sapsuckers like me. Good place, just sit down, go ahead, enjoy your day, take your time. Thank God for my smartphone and NFL updates. Glory to God. We don't have a problem with a shopaholic, do we? Unless you're paying the bills. Yeah, I have a lot of problem with that. But listen, we understand that. We laugh about it. Why is it that we think it's such an affront to be a Jesus-aholic? Here's this. My Packers won Thursday night, 10-3. A defensive battle, but a bad victory is better than a good defeat any day of the week. Well, this afternoon, 4-something, the Colts play. And there are people, I saw them today. Coming up 74, people had their blue out and their flags and the whole shooting match. Listen, nobody has a problem calling themselves a Colts fan. Do you know what fan is short for? Fanatic. We don't have a problem with somebody painting themselves up and they got crimson cream here and red there. Hello. Or black and gold, and they can wear all sorts of paraphernalia, and they can act in all sorts of crazy and unbelievable ways. They might even be wearing less than they should in 10-degree weather, and we think it's okay and fine. But just let somebody be excited about Jesus. Oh, we can't do that. Oh, to God, not in the church. Oh, we can't have anything like that. That is denying the very essence of our being. You were made for fire. I was made for fire, and something is going to motivate you, and something is going to drive you, And this is the reason why we have such a problem in this generation with addiction, alcohol, and drugs, sexual immorality. You can go going down the line. It's because people need a thrill. They need something that's going to excite them. And hear me, if they don't find it in one place, they're going to find it somewhere with someone. Even the wrong somewhere and the wrong somebody. And we can't deny this part that God made us with. And really, at the bottom of the well, what our soul is longing for is Him. People will sometimes search their entire lives never to be satisfied because they've never understood the fire element of human experience. Fan into flame. I talked about it Wednesday night. If you were not here, stream the message. But I'm going to tell you this. I pray with all of my heart that somehow, some way, we will lose our inhibitions and absolutely get crazy about Jesus and love Him so much. The problem in the church is not too much fire. Well, preacher, you got to be careful for all that wildfire. The problem isn't too much. It's not enough. We need to have such a flame burning in our heart that come what may, Satan can never. Let me tell you, I've learned this from experience. You don't ever worry about people getting too much on fire. There's plenty of wet blankets in the church. There's always, well, I actually heard someone say this. I actually heard someone say these very words. Oh, just let them hang around with me for a while. We'll do something about that. Oh, my God. I trust we're all so on fire for God, so in love with Jesus, so motivated by His purpose and His plans in our life, that there's no wet blanket Satan can ever beat that fire out of us. Instead, we just put His blankets on fire too. Remember on Mount Carmel? They not only brought the sacrifice, they doused it in water, and they doused it in water, and they doused it in water, and so the bottom of the trench was full of water, and when the fire fell, let me tell you something, if the fire in you is greater than the water that is poured on you, the fire will still conquer. The problem is, if we got more of the wrong stuff, it can transcend the great stuff. But when the great stuff is better, the small stuff cannot stop it. I pray we get so hot for God, so on fire for God, so full of God, that no matter what comes our way, we can say, greater is the one who is in me than the one who is in the world. Give Him a praise offering in the house. Come what may. Let's be firebrands for Jesus. Let all those sad sacks, whoever they are, wherever they come from, let them be as they will, miserable for the rest of their life. I made a decision. I'm going to be happy even if no one else is. I'm going to enjoy life even if nobody else does. I'm going to love Jesus even if the whole world goes to hell in a handbasket. And I think there's going to be some people we're going to go together. I think there's more of us than we think there are. Let the world do what it will. Let them shut the doors to our churches. Let them make it illegal for us to preach. If they throw me in jail, will some of you come see me? I'm not going to back off doing what God's called me to do. Let them do what they will. Let them say what they want to say. It's not going to get any easier. It's not going to get any easier for us to live for Jesus. The Bible says it'll get so bad that even if the elect were possible, could be deceived. No, we're going to live in a world that's going to hate Jesus more and more and more as the Antichrist more and more steps up on the horizon. It's not going to get easier. We better make a decision right now. You think it's hard now? Come on, let's get our heads out of the sand. It's not going to get easier. It's going to become more challenging. And you better make a decision right now. Right now.
Well, I'm so afraid. If somebody's going to laugh at me.
Let them laugh. Let them say what they'll say. Let them do what they will do. Let them do what they want to our body. Let them do what they want to our homes and families. Let them do what they want to our money and our possessions. Our life really isn't here anyway. Our life, the best, is yet to come. Let them take us out of this life and we'll step into that life. Absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord. That fire that burns in us isn't just for here and now. It's for then and there. We're going home to be with the Lord, where the fire of God will burn throughout eternity. Don't compromise. Don't back down. Don't back off. Don't quit. Don't give up. There's a greater day that is even yet ahead. And how about it, friends? Let's see how many of the people we can take with us. Give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray today. Finish this message in every one of our hearts. Father, may a fresh fire fall upon all of us. From the preacher to the pew. From the associates, the board members, to those that are just beginning to find their way into our congregation. Father, I pray that a fire would so burn on this campus, the people of Montgomery County won't be able to stay away. And whatever you got to do to ignite that fire, do it, God. Whatever you got to do to ignite us, to motivate us, to direct us, to call us. We have no desire or interest in being what so many people around us have become, politically correct. So afraid they're going to cause some level of offense when the gospel in and of itself is a scandalon, it's a scandal. It brings offense because it's challenging people to live a different kind of life. And the good news is when the gospel begins to penetrate, it comes with fire. And that fire cleanses. And that fire sanctifies. And that fire separates. And that fire motivates us. It makes us different. And really messes us up. Because once the fire begins to fall, we're never satisfied with anything but pure fire after that. Fall upon us. Fall on us. Fall on First Assembly like you never have. Not because it's us serving. Father, the need is so great. We need your fire or we're not going to have an impact. Father, send the fire, the worship team, and from the pulpit and in the classrooms and men's ministries and women's ministries and music and children and youth and outreach, even in the nursery. God, just send such a fire across the face of our ministry. God, I know when the fire begins to fall that the lukewarm will get really uncomfortable because they're just playing games. We don't want to play games anymore. We're not interested in that. What we're interested in is an encounter and experience with the God of fire. The God of fire. The God who reveals himself by fire. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask. If you'd want a fresh fire on your soul, lift your hands heavenward right now. Just before we pray the benediction, I want you to ask God to send a fresh fire in your life. I want you to ask God right now, wherever you live and whoever you live with and wherever you work and wherever you play, wherever you go, whatever it is, I want you to ask God right now, Father, send a fresh fire in my life. So help me, God, I want a fresh touch. I want to fan into flame the gift of God that is in me. I don't just want purpose, I want passion. And I need a passion or it's not going to affect anyone, including mine own. Father, I want a passion, I want a fire. I want something that burns so brightly and so hotly within me that every person I come across, every person that comes across my path, there is no way they cannot be touched or influenced because of something that rests on me. We ask you to help us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for a fresh new touch to fall across the face of every one of our lives. Hallelujah. Preacher down to the person in the pew, I pray, God, that you'll do something in each and every one of us. Lead us wherever we got to be and help us to be encountered however we have to watch the thing and to read the thing, experience whatever it is. God, I pray that you'll begin a process of setting us on fire. May it be. May it be. We need it, Father. We need it, Father.